The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 17th of January. Joining us this morning, the top of the pyramid, Alicia Hayes, Humboldt County CAO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, okay, yeah, I know you're not really, because you know, you got those other five that are out there floating around somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And last time you called me Chow, I really appreciated
Chow?
That.
You
that
want
name.
Chow?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Humboldt County Chow.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of sounds like you're in the restaurant business.
Right? That would be an upgrade, maybe.
Yeah. 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 Could cut your hours down, though.
Right.
Are you ready for our question this morning?
Yeah, lay it on me.
Okay, now this, we do this sequentially, so this is in politics and history as the overall categories. Why do we say that a political candidate on a speaking tour is on the stump?
Oh, I don't know.
See that, yeah, that's about as close as we're going to get.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking it's short politicians. Okay, let's see. When early European settlers were moving west and clearing the land, every farm had an abundance of tree stumps in their fields. A barnstorming politician who looked for a place of prominence to be seen and heard by a gathered electorate would invariably find a large tree stump to stand on from which he or she would be able to make their pitch. This gave us the expression on the stump, which is still used to describe a politician seeking election. Hey, so maybe you can bring a bunch of tree stumps into work.
Oh, that'd be entertaining.
I wonder if anybody would get it.
Yeah, they're already up on the dais. Yeah, let's get them a little higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a little weird, huh? It's, being taller than normal, I kind of look at things a little differently.
Yeah, yeah, you hit that button on the chair to
I go.
You
I'm going
a
down, you're yeah. going up, yeah. Yeah. But I look at these folks, you know, when I'm out of town, these different TV news anchors or the national stuff, like the sports guys and stuff. And you know that they're trying to level up the top of the heads. That's the name of the game. So you got somebody with a big head, and you know that they're a big guy or gal, and they're down low, and you got somebody with a, not a pinhead, but of that size. And all of a sudden, you see their shoulders, and you see their hips.
Yeah.
And they're jacked up as high as they possibly
they're
can
sitting
be.
Sitting on four dictionaries.
Yeah, yeah. Their knees are over the counter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that you would have any issues with any kind of personalities at the county level. But
oh,
I find that stuff just funny as all get out, trying to, it's all about the appearances
uh-huh.
as much as anything else.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of appearances, you kind of had a little bit of a look-see at what the governor is considering to be a balanced budget. Ha-ha, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Initial comments?
It changed a lot from his last projection, so I think it's hold your breath and wait and see sort of situation. It certainly mirrors, I think, what we're experiencing locally. I don't think it's surprising at all.
To the same extent?
No, it's. I think it feels a little bit more dramatic, maybe at the state level, right? And at the local level, when the state starts experiencing very dramatic budget deficits, we start getting concerned of them pushing mandates and costs out on local jurisdictions. So we haven't really seen a lot of that happening yet, but we're certainly watching for it.
Really, there's no pass-throughs stepping aside.
Historically,
oh, they have. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Historically, certainly, but not yet.
Not this year.
In response to this budget, yeah, that we've necessarily experienced, but we're prepared. We're preparing for it and expecting it to come trickling down very swiftly.
So you think the assembly is going to do some pushback, and then he's going to have to adjust?
They're going to have to. They're wildly out of balance, so they're going to have to figure that out. You know, with COVID, they were overspending dramatically. There's a ton of...
Was it overspending, Alicia, or was it committing future dollars wild and crazy, and now those are coming home to roost?
Well, it's both, right?
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay, so right? So yeah. Both ways.
Yeah. Well, when you're committing future dollars, you're probably overspending.
Or you're expecting that there's going to be some kind of a significant rebound in the economic picture.
Yeah.
Which didn't happen. Now, there was a story a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week, that was saying how California was going to be covering the medical costs of all these illegals to the tune of about $3 billion was a projected.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear something like that, you kind of scratch your head also, like a lot of us are, not that the governor is committing a huge chunk of money to something.
Yeah.
During times that are not the most robust.
Yeah. I mean, I think local jurisdictions this year have found themselves scratching their heads for a lot of the decisions the governor is making in his spending plans and the legislative initiatives that are coming down that are going to have some pretty significant impacts in the coming years. You know, a big one for us is the $20 an hour healthcare and fast food. You know, that's setting a precedence that's going to be really difficult for local jurisdictions to match.
The fast food one, isn't that, don't they have to own like 100 restaurants or something? It kind of sounded, when I saw it initially, appeared that it was more for an attack, and I think it was an attack, at large ownership,
mm-hmm.
rather than you and I own a local hamburger joint,
yeah.
and we have one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not we're not in that target. We're not responsible to pay that that elevated fee. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I think that's accurate. And let's be real, those like McDonald's can turn to robots to do some of this work if paying humans becomes too expensive.
Well, that's what it's going to do. Is really push the employment down.
Yeah. But again, it sets a precedence that $20 is that minimum threshold, and we're hearing that in our labor market, and that's
everybody then looks to that as a reference point.
Yeah, that becomes the minimum wage, air quotes.
Do you have contracts with the labor groups that are tied to things like that? So there's an automatic bump. You don't have the option.
No, they're not tied to something like that. But we do have all of our labor contracts that are up at the end of this calendar year. So we're going into our negotiations this year, and we're going to go in early to work on those negotiations throughout this year, because it's going to be a rough year this year with that, with the economy, with our current state of our budget. There's going to be a lot to chew on.
Well, and the inflation, just flat out inflation, regardless of what your source is.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Alicia Hayes, Chow of Humboldt.
Love it.
Or CAO, if you don't recognize the letters. As emotional and as challenging as labor negotiations are, there's got to be other things that are at that same level, that just things that we don't in the public see or perceive to be as challenging as those areas. What would be the biggest, really, comment that we would have, not being inside the government, that would just floor us, that you have to deal with?
Oh, I mean, the peopling aspect of any leadership position is, which, you know, sort of
HR
bleeds. HR is always, you know, managing folks and while keeping morale up and motivating people to continue to come in and commit to public service is, I would say that's probably one of the most motivating factors of my position, but also one of the most challenging factors of it as well.
Yeah, it's an emotional up that drains.
Exactly.
Guess it's probably the simplest way. Yeah. How much time do you spend just kind of wandering around? Not lost, but from department to department, just check in and see how they're doing?
You know, unfortunately, I don't get enough of that. And I'm trying to reevaluate my staffing structure right now and my schedule because I come in, you know, my meeting schedule starts at 8 and it ends at 5. And I'm lucky if I get a lunch break or, you know, a bio break during the day. It is go.
You beat me to that phrase. I heard that for the first time last week at the Headwaters Board.
Yeah.
One of the guys said a bio break. I said, what is that? And they kind of looked at me and laughed. It's like, no,
it's
okay,
a PC
fine.
Way of, yeah, of, you know, just, saying I got to hit the hallway.
Yeah, we're going to take a 5-minute coffee break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's a disservice to our departments. I got to get out there more and
to hear their story?
I think to interact with staff. I interact a lot with department heads. I think, you know, I have regular one-on-ones with them. I've got monthly department head meetings with them, but
do you meet with the electeds also?
Yeah. I meet with them each Monday before board meetings so that we can prep, for the Tuesday meetings. And then of course, as needed throughout the week. So some are in contact with me, you know, more regularly than others. It just sort of depends on, you know, needs and what's coming up in their jurisdictions. And
I'm laughing because I would probably lock the door, keep you out. not you, just, you know, I know what I'm doing. Let me do it. I'll let you know if there's an issue.
Each board member has their own sort of unique style, you know, so that in this role, you have to learn how to navigate different personalities and figure out different communication styles for each one.
Well, yeah, and what they want.
Yeah.
Or what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. There are, I know, different monitoring entities. You know, CSAC has their folks. I'm sure that they share with everybody. The legal guys have got theirs. The sheriff has got his. I've got mine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you monitor all of those different areas, or do you just kind of focus on CSAC and, I guess, the CAO's equivalent of one of those to see what's going on?
Well, yeah, I'm involved in CSAC. I'm involved in RCRC. I've got my own California Association of County Executives.
The 58.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just for the CAO's group. So, you know, that's where we can talk a little bit more candidly about, you know, how are board dynamics going and, you know, what is, you know, happening at the state level or the federal level that's really impacting our local jurisdictions, and talk from an administrative standpoint of what we're doing to address those things. So that group in particular is, you know, super helpful for me as a feedback loop. And I've got a mentor who is a retired CAO who helps me, you know, manage he's probably more my therapist than anything else, a trusted and valuable resource.
It's cool to be able to have somebody like that.
Oh,
that you can lean into,
my lifeline,
and say, help me.
Yeah. Or can I just sit here and cry for
just
a
whine
second?
A little bit. Yeah. Exactly. So there's a trust factor, certainly, with the appointeds.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a challenge? I would think that it could be.
Absolutely.
Just because there are different people and different, you know, different circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And personalities, right? Like everybody, you've got to learn those. I've got to learn how I can press board members, because it is, you know, I do need to press them at times. So how I compress them.
That whining thing doesn't work with everybody?
Not always, no. and you know, some like a little bit more assertiveness, some like a slower roll, you know, so it's like figuring out, you know, some you have to wait until you have that right opportunity. Some are always open. It's just figuring out those dynamics and learning when that opportunity is ripe to have those good conversations with them. And I think that's how you build that collaboration and that trust with them. And
but you're not subject to the Brown Act, are you?
With the board members. No. Well, I am in that, you know, I can't, if there's decision points, right, I can't go to Rex and say, I talked with Michelle and Mike, and here's what they're going to do, right? Like, I can't divulge.
You're not a conduit.
Yes. Yeah.
That would kind of defeat them.
Yeah. I can seek feedback, which will guide decisions from them, but I've got to be careful about sharing that amongst them.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
The following broadcast of Talk Shop was recorded for broadcast at this time. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Alicia Hayes, Humboldt County, I got to say CAO. I can't say chow all the time.
You started it.
I know. Chief Administrative Officer. As you're working through some of the different laws and requirements and reporting that is necessary from the state, do we appreciate the extent of that stuff? What it does to the day-to-day of your office, of other offices in the county?
Appreciate might be a strong word.
Recognize or even aware of?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we've got great teams. I've got a fantastic legislative deputy CAO, Sean Quincy, who really, he's my mastermind around that. So he helps me tremendously in helping to dive into the nitty gritty of those sorts of things. So, yeah, I mean, they're complex. A legislative policy is a dense document with, you know, pages and pages of sometimes contradictory clauses in there.
Oh, that's got to make it interesting, huh?
It's always interesting. And from a local level, we read these and oftentimes we're scratching our heads saying, how in the holy heck are we going to implement this? It's non-practical things in here.
So when you get into a scenario like that, how do you look for guidance from the state level? Make a best guess, lower your head and say, well, okay, you know, the full effort. How do you approach those kind of catch-22s?
Yeah, all of the above, I think. We look to our local to our state leaders to help us. And we look to our other local jurisdictions. We don't want to recreate the wheel. So how are other jurisdictions handling this? What pitfalls have they found? How have they mitigated some of the impacts? So, you know, we try as the 58 counties to come together and work somewhat in unison on new legislative policy to try to work through it. You know, we've got big things like Care Court coming down right now, and the Care Court is, where you have, you know, people who are experiencing schizophrenia who go through a special court process. And
oh, so it's
like a mental health court. Yeah. Okay. And there are a handful of counties who are in they call it cohort one, who are going through it now. So they are sort of beta testing it, so to speak.
They're getting the battle scars.
They are getting the battle scars. Okay. Yeah. And then we have to implement in January of 2025. So we're gearing up and we're
taking funding.
Well,
I think the
state gave us, you know, a very zealous like $120,000 or something to implement this.
One staff person.
This is what we will call a local mandate that is unfunded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The magic word, unfunded.
Unfunded mandates. Yeah, we get a lot of those.
What percentage of the budget, just a ballpark, are unfunded mandates? Things that used to be covered by the state that, in order to balance past budgets,
that's a great question.
They pass through.
Honestly, I don't know. A ballpark, maybe 25%.
Oh, really?
I don't know. There is a significant portion, and you know, back in 08 when the economy was in a recession, there was a ton pushed down on us, and
your fan.
They sorry about that. I just turned my ringer off.
That works.
They pushed costs down on us in that recession and never backed that out. So
were there promises that they would?
Lots of times there are that, you know, it's an ongoing history of, and this is what we're going to experience in this current environment. Now we haven't had a lot pushed down on us yet, but we are fully expecting that, and we're going to need to be prepared to manage
it. To play that game. Yeah.
And at the local level, you know, being nimble is the name of the game, and being able to shift resources, identify efficiencies, you know, find collaborations and opportunities.
Oh, you use the C word.
Yeah, that good old C
you
word.
You made it
do you
halfway
hate,
through.
Do you hate that word?
Oh, I despise it.
Oh.
Now, DEI is making a really quick climb up that ladder also.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, in meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's, it's kind of like an ongoing battle.
Yeah, challenging is mine. Somebody says, it's challenging.
No, what really tees me off, now that we're mentioning these things, is in restaurants, you make the order, and they say, of course. So why did you ask if you knew what I wanted?
Yes. Yeah.
That's put a couple of, what do they call them, wait staff now, I guess, instead of waiters and waitresses, on their heels. They kind of look at me, and they're not really sure what, but, you know, I kind of get that look on a regular basis anyway, so it doesn't matter. But some of those types of things that are state, either through the courts or through Sacramento, do you think that they appreciate what the impact is at the local level?
No.
So how do you, can you kidnap one of these policymakers and bring them in and show them?
Oh, God.
Here's one day we're going to go through 15 different departments, and each one's going to spend 15 minutes telling you about all the additional reporting that has been heaped on them by Sacramento in the last 10 years.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Are you ready for the bloodletting?
Yeah, be entertaining.
And just go.
We could make a documentary on that. That would be prime
time. Nobody watch it.
Entertainment.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Be a bloodbath.
Yeah. I think that you were talking about a disconnect earlier. I think there's a disconnect from the state folks. You know, and they, I was a local. Yeah, but you didn't. You weren't at this level. You didn't see what the impact of this was. The Freedom of Information Act or whatever that is. I know it ties you guys up because we talked about it last time. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand what this means to us and what it's costing?
Yeah.
And I mean, just simple little things like that, I really don't think that they appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's always nuances that are built into things that, you know, from the public perspective, you don't realize. It sounds right, like transparency and these big buzzwords. It sounds great from the public's perspective. But at the end of the game, there's a lot of you know, work and costs and inefficiencies.
Yeah, what is the goal of that?
Exactly.
And if the goal can be achieved differently, let us achieve it differently.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, deaf ears, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe CSEC can muscle up a little bit.
They are great in jumping in and studying these things, and you know, when we talk about like the Public Records Act and transparency, they are asking us for data around how much we're spending, and there is some legislation out here this year that has the potential to make that much more cumbersome for us. And
yeah, I would
they're advocating.
I would think, and we'll go to break. I would think that if you had to respond by paper, no electronic. Okay. And they had to pay $1 a sheet. All of a sudden, some of these frivolous things would kind of go sideways.
Yeah.
And the people who really had interest, okay, yeah, it's worth $20 to me to find out X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
But not some of these blanket things that have, you know, Rexy was talking about one of them, a couple million dollars if it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if it was done digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Not backing up the freight company truck,
yeah,
and delivering it and then having them to have to pay for this,
yeah,
just for the hard cost, not for people cost.
Yeah, that's genius. Then we get the environmental activists.
Genius, looking at me.
They'd back us up. They'd help us defend that because we don't want to, you know,
start burning a bunch of paper. I start thinking, I might start believing you. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Alicia Hayes from the big pink building, almost.
Pink.
Next door to the pink building.
Yes.
Yes. But you connect.
Yes. Is that the jail? The jail's pink?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess I can see that.
You'll go with that, huh?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. Do you think we understand the cost of government? In the general community?
Probably not.
Budgets are, it's tough for a lot of folks to figure out what a budget is, mm-hmm. what it does, and how to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you put all the zeros and commas that you guys have got, throw in a good pound and a half of governmental jargonese,
mm-hmm.
and then the desire by some to, well, make it not as simple as possible to read.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that some people even have a working knowledge of it.
Yeah.
Let alone to have real familiarity.
Yeah.
Is there a simpler way to be able to do some of this stuff? If, in fact, knowledge to the community is what the goal is.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not, don't change it. But if that is, I know there's a lot of lip service to it, but if that's a real goal.
Yeah. I mean, we try to make our budget somewhat digestible, but it is, you know, when you talk about the cost of government services, our budget has exceeded, you know, $500 million. So
that's still, I guess I must be getting old. I remember when it crossed 200 million.
Yeah.
And that was a big threshold.
A big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting old.
No.
Two and a half times size.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like staff is 2.5 times size. It's just the costs are escalating.
The costs are going through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there counties that are implementing new creative things to either for cost containment or service increase? I mean, you talked about AI with McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a simple one. You know, whether or not counties are in a spot to be able to do that,
yeah.
Whether by contract or by philosophical perspective,
yeah.
That's a different story. But are there some counties that are coming up with creative ways to do business?
You know, when you talk about AI, ChatGPT is a conversation that a lot of counties are having of how we can use that to make report writing, letter writing, you know, evaluating our employees, all of those sorts of things, even hiring potentially a little bit more streamlined and effective and efficient. So certainly, we're trying to use technology and software to make our jobs a little bit more effective. And our costs are, by and large, associated to our staffing. So where you can do work with less people, better trained, more qualified folks, then, you run a more efficient operation. So
or do more with the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a meeting last week. I think the governor of Tennessee was out in front with the musicians and artists about protecting against AI because their likenesses, you can make their voices sound or make a mechanical voice sound like the real person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very concerned.
Yeah.
Obviously, because that's all that they have to sell are those two elements. I would think that, you know, there's a lot of pain associated with early adapting.
Yes.
Like legal determinations.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be interesting to see what these counties that are implementing,
yeah,
what those pitfalls are. I would think that would be grand topic for the CSAC meetings.
Yeah, we've had demonstrations. I think it was our last CSAC where they did a demonstration on using ChatGPT, and I haven't gone down that. I have clumped myself in the I'm too old to change category. So I'm like, oh, it kind of scares me. I'm not really sure about all that. So I haven't really dabbled with it myself, but I have staff who are using it, and I watched the presentation. And I was like, wow, this is impressive. It seems like a cool tool, but it's also dangerous. You've got to watch it also and be careful of, you know, it can sink things into a document that you might not be aware of. And
well, I would think, yeah, I don't know if you, I know there's a term for technical writing. I don't know if there's a term for technical reading.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that you, yeah, one word.
Yeah.
Just interpreted differently. I mean, that's, I guess, what makes it a game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a bunch of those interlaced inside of a document that you're not aware of, and then you're dealing with it, you know, well, how many times do you have to rewrite code? Enforcement, municipal code, the equivalent of that for the county, now because of interpretation,
mm-hmm,
or society has changed a little bit, or common nomenclature is this, where before it had a totally different meaning.
Oh, yeah, it's ever evolving. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a couple of specific department heads like building and planning,
yeah,
that are having to deal with that kind of
stuff on
such a regular basis.
All the time. Modifying code, for sure.
Do you have anybody tasked specifically with that, or is it just kind of catch as catch can?
I mean, yeah, you address the situations as they come up. There's nobody that's, you know, your job is go out and figure out what code is wrong and how we can fix it. It comes up as you realize, like, this code is broken.
So
it's not working.
Reactive rather than a proactive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's working, you know.
You mean if nobody's seeing it?
Yeah.
Well, which by definition is working.
It's working.
All right. Yeah, you made it through. Ciao, baby.
Wonderful.
See everybody tomorrow.
Wonderful.
This presentation of Talk Shop was recorded at a previous time for playback today.